On May 31st, 1954, the Mother of God comes to Amsterdam with truly a phenomenal message, saying that she has chosen this day as her coronation day for the fifth and final Marian dogma, and tells you and I how we can participate in bringing that reality come to pass. Hello and welcome to MaryCast. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli, Professor of Theology and Mariology at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And we are continuing our series entitled The Lady of All Nations and the Fifth Marian Dogma. Remember that these are messages approved by the local bishop, Bishop Joseph Maria Punt of Haarlem, Amsterdam, as authentic supernatural revelations from heaven to us. And on this particular day, Our Lady comes to the visionary Ida and says, "This is a day I'm choosing to be crowned, and this is what you can do to assist. Work, pray for this dogma. Petition the Holy Father for this dogma." And if that's not enough, Our Lady herself explains her roles and why these three titles are not three individual titles, but one act of spiritual motherhood with three profound dimensions. Let's go to her messages and her explanation on this May 31st, 1954 message. Our Lady says, and I quote, "Once more I am here. The co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate is now standing before you. I have chosen this day. On this day the Lady will be crowned. Theologians and apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen carefully. I have given you the explanation of the dogma. Work and ask for this dogma. You should petition the Holy Father for this dogma. The Lord Jesus Christ has wrought great things and will give even more to you all in these times in this century. On this date, the Lady of All Nations will receive her official title of Lady of All Nations. Note well, three concepts in one." Now let me stop here and just explain that in fact Our Lady's prophecy that this would be a coronation day has already to some degree taken effect. On May 31st of 1996, the bishop at that time did give an approval for the title Lady of All Nations, and he did so on May 31st of that year. Now by providence, we could say, 2 days later, that bishop made his way to Rome, and I had the opportunity to speak to him in Rome. And I actually congratulated him for the courage it took him to fulfill this prophecy, to give Our Lady this title, Lady of All Nations, on the day prophesied so many years before. His frank response to me was, "What prophecy?" And I went on, "Your Excellency, well, of course, it was prophesied in the Lady of All Nations that on this day, May 31st, this title would be granted to her." He said, "Well, I had no idea. In fact, I tried to move it through the Chancery office the Thursday before, but the office was backed up." So indeed, without any direct will of the Bishop of Haarlem, Amsterdam in 1996, Our Lady's prophecy was fulfilled. Now, she continues to talk about these three concepts in one, and she's going to give us a visual for this, if you will, as well as a theological explanation. She goes on to say, "Three concepts in one, these three. At this point, the Lady puts up three fingers and moves the other hand round about her until she becomes, as it were, enveloped in a delicate mist. Now I have demonstrated these three concepts to your theologians. These three concepts as one whole. I am saying this twice because there are some who will accept only one concept. The Holy Father will agree to the former, but you will have to help him to achieve this. Make no mistake about it." Now, this is a rather fascinating statement from the Mother of Jesus to theologians. Two parts of that message. One is three concepts in one, and then secondly, you're going to have to help the Holy Father to accept this. Let's deal with the first. She holds up three fingers and then it circles around these three fingers, and then a delicate mist accompanies this. And she says, three concepts in one. Now I've explained it to the theologians. Well, to our theologian listeners out there, maybe you've already got it. But for those who are still a little confused as to what Our Lady meant, let's break it down. three concepts referring to co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. Now, some would say things like, well, we don't need a triple dogma. We don't need three new truths about Our Lady. And others would say, they're three truths, but they're so separate, we can't put them together. Let me give you an example from the domestic church, from home. Each of our mothers provided three foundational and sacrificial services for each one of us. Number one, our mothers suffered for us. That started typically after we conceived with things like morning sickness. It certainly had climactic dimensions when our mothers gave birth to us. But then throughout our lives, our mothers, out of that vulnerability of love, suffer every time we suffer. And that's the beauty of a mother's heart. That's why motherhood is such a universal truth throughout the world that everyone has to respect, even if they've personally been deprived of that great grace. So, number one, a mother suffers for us. Number two, a mother nourishes us. First, with breastfeeding, when that's possible. Secondly, through nutrition and nourishment that also sometimes goes through our lives. Having four adolescents, sometimes they feel helpless unless mom gets at the frying pan and starts cooking. But more profoundly, a mother does nourish in the physical order. Thirdly, a mother pleads on our behalf. Our mother was our greatest advocate as we were growing up, whether it be in sports, whether it be at school, whether it be at music. That's why sometimes, as one friend said, at a college graduation, the mother is weeping and the father is reading the paper. And that's a bit of a generalization, but you know, the mother suffered through every part of that class and you know, through high school all the way through, where the father could have been more distant. The point is, every good mother suffers, nourishes, pleads. And none of us conclude to having three mothers. No one says, well, I have a suffering mother, and she lives next to the nourishing mother, and the two of them know the pleading mother. One mother, three tasks. So with the Mother of Christ to you. You have a mother that suffered for you. That's her role as co-redemptrix. You have a mother that nourishes you in the spiritual order. One woman said that Mary is mediatrix of all graces, is like a breastfeeding mother, that we must go to the breast of Mary to receive the spiritual milk of sanctifying grace. That's why you and I have to stay little. We have to stay humble to realize we will always need a mother, a spiritual mother. We can't say we don't need to go to the breast of Mary. We're old now. We're always spiritually young. We always need that mother nourishing. Thirdly, the Blessed Mother is the great advocate on our behalf. From the early church in the 3rd century, during Roman persecutions, the Christians went to Mary when things got most dangerous. So, three mothers? No. One mother, three essential roles: co-redemptrix, mediatrix, advocate. And that's why Our Lady is holding up those three fingers, circling them, and it produces a mist, a singularity of one mother in these three functions. Then Our Lady says, there will be many that accept the former. You're going to have to help people with a certain part of this. What does that mean? Well, many will say, yes, she's mediatrix, she's advocate, but this co-redemptrix stuff, too strong. That's going over the top. It's too much. But my friends, if Mary did not suffer with Jesus on our behalf, she wouldn't have been the mediatrix and advocate. So it must be taken together. That's why we petition the Holy Father in love and respect that we want Our Lady proclaimed as co-redemptrix, mediatrix, advocate, as one mother in the order of grace. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli for MaryCast. God bless. Thanks for being with us.